gospel lesson comes to us from the gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 46 through 52. Let us hear now the word of the Lord. Then they came to Jericho, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, "Cheer up, get on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. You may be seated. And let us pray. Oh God, we pray that you would come over us and, oh God, we pray that you would overcome us. Amen. There are several things that I believe that our culture is in very short supply of. Now, we live in many ways in a culture that is richer than any culture that there has ever been. There are a lot of people, and I don't know if you've played this game before, where you say, would you like to go back 100 years and be just fabulously wealthy? Now, let me just say, I'm from Texas. And 100 years ago, there were not air conditioners. So let me just say that being moderately middle class today, in many ways, seems much more comfortable than it does 100 years ago. Now, many of us, we like some of the niceties of life, don't we? Some of the things that technology would provide us. Some of you kids today, I mean, you know how incredibly handy it is to have a phone, to be able to play games or do email, or just so you know, I'm old enough that even when I was in college, I didn't have a cell phone. Right? We have an abundance of many things. But there are a few things that our culture has that I would say are more foundational, more pivotal, and more important than many of the material things that our societies can offer us today. One of those things, which we're not going to talk about today, is hope. I believe that we have a world that is desperately short in the commodity of hope. And I believe, and I would submit to you, that the only place we find hope is in the church. When we talk about what the church has to offer, I believe that hope is one of those things. But like I said, we're not going to talk about hope today. We're going to talk about another one of those commodities that I believe that our world is just woefully short in. We have an inadequacy of it. We have a drought. It's mentioned in this passage. We've mentioned it actually the last 2 weeks as we have come alongside the gospel passages and looked at Peter's letter in 1 Peter chapter 2. But that is that we live in a culture that is short on mercy. We live in a world where right now, I don't know if you watch television or the internet or anything where there are commercials, but there are a lot of commercials that, well, they appear like in the fall, about every 2 years in American society. And it's always one side versus the other side. And many of those ads, many of those advertisements, they like to focus on something that's been said or something that was written, usually a long time ago, that no one can ever forget because everything we write and everything we say is digitized today. So we remember what somebody tweeted in anger. Or perhaps frustration that maybe it was deleted 3 minutes later. But it's there for all of eternity for everyone to see. And there's never mercy. We like to be able to point out flaws. And we live in a culture that alongside with a lack of mercy, we live in a culture where several generations ago, perhaps some of us are old enough to remember the song, I believe it was by Roger Miller, and the words went like this, "It's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." Remember that song? Well, for the next generation that came along, there was Stuart Smalley on Saturday Night Live who looked into a mirror and convinced himself or tried to convince himself that he's smart enough, he's good enough, and gosh darn it, people like him. Today, it's the anguish in many ways and the idea that we have to set the front-facing phone, a camera on our iPhone at just the right setting to get just the right angle and just the right lighting that we would have just the perfect selfie to put on Instagram. See, we live in a world where if we're not perfect, there is no mercy. And yet just below the veneer of that surface of perfection, there is the reality that we all know about ourselves and about everyone else, which is that we're not perfect, which is that we are broken people, which is that we are people in need of a Savior. We are people in need of pardon and forgiveness. We are a people in need of mercy. We have this passage before us in which a man cries out, Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus literally means son of Timaeus. We might remember the name in Acts, Barnabas. If you will recall, Barnabas was not his name, it was a nickname. It means son of encouragement because the word bar just means son. Okay, when we talk about a bar mitzvah, that means son of the covenant, son of the law. That's what that means. So this man, his name was Bartimaeus, which would have been a denotation that in that culture, in that society, in Jericho, that he would have been known because he was known because he was his father's son. He's not just someone who is there. He is known. The family is known, and yet he is someone who is in need of mercy. And what we find is not Bartimaeus having some sense of entitlement, thinking that he's good enough for Jesus to stop, but rather he is one who calls out for mercy. He rightly recognizes who Jesus is. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by, he said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And not only that, even though he was rebuked by those around him, he called out all the more, perhaps all the louder, it should be said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." The words of Peter that we have read have been from Peter chapter 2. Speaking of who we are in Christ and our identity in Christ, we read these words, 1 Peter 4, or chapter 2, verse 4, "As you come to him," speaking of Jesus, the living stone, "rejected by people but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, just as Bartimaeus believed, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is what they also were destined for. But speaking of us who believe, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." You see here that the passage doesn't praise us for who we are, but praises us for who we are in Christ. That God has called us, that he has made us a people, that he has called us, not unlike Bartimaeus, out of darkness and into light, based not on what we have done, or what we deserve, but based on who He is and the mercy He bestows. Let us remember what mercy is. Mercy is when we don't get what we do deserve. Mercy is what happens when our child has been disobedient and we scoop them up, we take them into the other room to give them a good talking to, and where they will suffer the consequences of their actions, and then we say, "Now what did I tell you? You told me if I did that again, you'd turn the television off. I sure did. And what am I going to do?" "Well, you're going to turn the television off." "Well, maybe today, son, maybe today you will receive mercy." We receive mercy. Not because we are deserving, but because He bestows upon us this mercy. For once, you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This concept of mercy is not merely a New Testament concept. It does not begin with Jesus coming into the world. Last week we looked at Exodus chapter 24, at the covenant that was cut between God and Moses as the law came to the people. And we read about the ark that was built in Exodus chapter 25. Exodus 25, verse 10, God speaking to Moses says, "About the artisans," or to the artisans, "have them make a chest of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold, both inside and out, and make a gold molding around it. Cast 4 gold rings for it, and fasten them to its 4 feet, with 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other. Then make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Insert the poles into the rings on the sides of the chest to carry it. The poles are to remain in the rings of this ark. They are not to be removed. Then put in the ark the testimony which I will give you. Make an atonement cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide, and make 2 cherubim out of hammered gold at the ends of the cover. Make 1 cherubim on one end and the 2nd cherubim on the other. Make the cherubim of 1 piece with the cover at the 2 ends. The cherubim are to have their wings spread upward, overshadowing and covering, overshadowing the cover with them. The cherubim are to face each other, looking toward the cover. Place the cover on top of the ark and put in the ark the testimony which I will give you. There, above the cover, between the 2 cherubim that are over the ark of the testimony, I will meet with you and give you all the commands for the Israelites." The other name for that atonement cover is known as the mercy seat. The place in which on the Day of Atonement that the high priest would go in, and when he would make sacrifices on behalf of his own sin and the sins of the people, he would sprinkle that mercy seat with the blood of the Lamb. It is what we read about today in our epistle reading from Hebrews. That as the Lamb was slain, that the priest every year would have to go, and priests would do what we do. They would die, and so there would be a new high priest that came in. But the writer of Hebrews writes and speaks of Jesus, our high priest who has gone before us, who has paced his own blood, which is pure, which is sufficient to cover our sins, to give us mercy. In the story of Jesus and Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus receives mercy from Jesus not because he deserves it or is entitled to it, but because Jesus is merciful. We come into this place as those who have received mercy. And I believe that it is God who is calling us, as those who have received mercy, to be merciful in the world. Imagine just for a moment, in a world that is so short on mercy, if we were people who were long in giving mercy. Today we come to the table, And we acknowledge and confess that we are those who have received mercy. As we have received mercy, may we give mercy. Amen.